Welcome to the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton Caldwell, and we're here to say don't you worry through stories, encouragement, and joy. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's conversation. Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton Caldwell, and today we've got a special guest, PJ Cuba, on the podcast. Mm-hmm. PJ, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. First of all, thrilled to be on the Don't You Worry podcast. I've seen it all over my feed, and I told my wife that this might be our big break.
You know, yes.
This might take us to a whole other level. But I'm excited. I'm PJ. I am a friend of your dad's that I got to meet 2 years ago now, and I live in South Carolina. I'm a college pastor in Conway, which is where Coastal Carolina is at. So, I've been here for a little over a year now.
Yes, that's so cool.
Yes.
Well, we're obviously two high school girls, but yeah. our following is mostly high schoolers and college students. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about like your personal spiritual growth and then how you've led high schoolers and college students, what you've learned through your ministry. So what do you think like the biggest spiritual, what do you think the biggest factor has been in your spiritual growth journey?
Yes. So I think two things come to mind for me. One is having a solid mentorship in my life. So I have in my, like, and this is just me, but I have a Mount Rushmore of people who have spiritually impacted my life. Your dad, Anthony Caldwell, being one. My
yes.
pastor, Brandon Blair, being another. Brett Williams from Lions Creek in Knoxville, but the list can go on. But basically what I'm saying is you are never above scripture. You are never above learning. And mm-hmm. so it has played such a dramatic impact in my life to learn from men and people who have who are running the same race as us. And so mm-hmm. that, as well as reading the Bible, but not to necessarily gain something, but more or less to know somebody. And mm-hmm. so it is a relationship with Jesus. That's how we communicate with Jesus. And so that has played a switching my mentality and my perspective has drastically played a massive role in my growth with
yeah.
the Lord.
Yeah. How can like I, as a high school student, how can I just really like learn from that and apply that to my life to just like grow in my relationship with God?
Yeah, I think a lot of times it's easy for us to make it a checklist system mm-hmm. Where, you know, I've read my Bible today. I went to youth group. I went to church. And it's so easy to get into that mindset. So I love showing an image and I wish I could send it to you guys, but it's two pie charts. Mm-hmm. On one pie chart, it's everything that goes on in your life. So maybe it's the podcast. It is church or God. It is friends, family, extracurricular activities, all in the circle.
Mm-hmm.
The other pie chart has a center point around it, which is Christ. And so scripture tells us that whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever it is, we should do it to the glory unto God. And so this other pie chart points us to the reality that everything that I do flows from my relationship with the Lord. And so a lot of people, their theology is, you know, God is a part of my life. God is first and foremost, but realistically, their life paints a different picture. And so in that, we have to get to a proper understanding of who God is. And so we have to center our lives around him. And then everything that we do, friends, family, extracurricular activities, everything becomes a constant and everything flows from that relationship. And so it's about mindset. And that means surrounding yourself with people that are ultimately going to run the race of Christianity. Understand mm-hmm. this. It's not you're not trying to beat somebody else. There is a finish line, and the finish line is Christ. And so mm-hmm. when you start pursuing him, it's a head and heart posture. So it's really a perspective that we have to renew our minds in, not conform to the things of this world, and constantly be seeking the person that ultimately gave us breath in our lungs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that.
Yeah, I think that's good too, because like a lot of times in high school, you compare yourself to other people and try to be the best you can be, which is good, like that you're trying to be the best
to your own ability, if that makes sense. But like also you can't compare yourself to the people around you because you're all running the same race, but in different versions of what God has for you.
Absolutely.
What do you think like high schoolers can do to prepare for college spiritually? Because we have a lot of these things at school that they're like, well, you got to do this to prepare for college. And that's on the more like technical side of it. So what do you think we can do to prepare for life after high school with trying to center our life around Jesus?
Yeah, I think like high school is going to prepare you for certain things when you go to college, and spiritual growth is not going to be one of those things. And so it's kind of having that understanding that, you know, when you turn 17, 18 or whenever you graduate, you're kind of just thrown into the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of ask the question like, well, what do I do? I think community matters. Community is drastic for the Christian. You were not made to live life and do life alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so get involved. First and foremost, in a local church, it is vital for believers to participate in corporate worship, to be with the saints, to grow in our spiritual growth. Because a lot of times what the enemy does is he isolates us. When you're in your dorm room at night, when you have a roommate that maybe doesn't agree or align with you scripturally and spiritually, it's going to be tough. And let me just save everybody the time, it will get tough. It's just a matter of when. Psalm 23, though, is one of my favorite pieces of scripture, which may sound cliche, but basically we understand that God takes us not around the valley, not over the valley, but through the valley. But the promise is that he's the good shepherd. He's walking with his sheep. And truth be told, sheep are dumb. tend to... Yeah, just in our flesh and worldly desires, we have a tendency to say one thing but do another, and so forth. So surround yourself with godly examples, godly people, and then get involved in a campus ministry. And for a lot of people that maybe commute, those are still opportunities. Our tech school here partners with the university who BCM, Baptist Collegiate Ministries, works with, and we partner with them. And so a lot of our students, they're growing, they're being fed, but they're also finding those friendships that Lord willing will last a lifetime or even for a season. So I think you have a role to play, but also understand that God is in control of all things. And so, realistically, I would say community matters the most. That would be my biggest piece of advice, because it does get lonely at times. And so I think I'll leave it there. I don't want to overwhelm.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Yeah. I know you said you're a college pastor. So how can, like, what's your ideal college student look like? Like, what do you want a college student to really example?
Yes. That is a very good question. So I think a lot of times, one is willingness. Somebody that is simply willing. I don't care how deep of a theologian or how long they've been following Jesus. Typically what I find is there's a reality that maybe college students aren't the biggest givers in the church. They are broke. I mean, we are eating ramen noodles every night. And relying on a water fountain to fill our Stanley or whatever it is up. But I do believe that they are the most willing in the church. And so I think there has to be a hunger for God and the things of God to share the love of the Lord with others. And truth be told, the harvest is plentiful, the word says. And so your campus it is plentiful. There are plenty of opportunities for us to live on mission. But Jesus says in that text, do not pray for the harvest, but pray for the laborers. So somebody that's willing to commit to simply saying, hey, as Isaiah said, here I am, send me. The willingness, but also a Christ follower and not a chameleon. I've used that example. Just, I don't know if you guys have played the board game Chameleon.
I don't think I have, but okay. I'm going to have to look it up now.
Have your dad buy it, because it is so fun, first of all. But also, it's an understanding that chameleons, naturally in their environment, they try to blend in. I don't want these people that have a verse in their Instagram bio, but then are living opposite of what they're claiming to believe. And so I want college students that are Christ followers, not chameleons, mm-hmm. disciple makers. No, I don't need you to go out and you know, have a checklist and say, I shared the gospel 100 times. I want you to be a disciple who makes disciples. And that's a commandment for every Christian. And then just, I think the biggest word for us to grasp is authentic. Authenticity is something that, people sometimes use and abuse. But at the same time, I think, being real and raw and understanding that apart from Christ, I can do nothing, mm-hmm. goes to show. And so, and it plays both sides. Like you can't be scared to confess sin to one another. You can't be afraid to be who God has called you to be. You can't be afraid to have a conversation, whether you're introverted, extroverted, whatever it may be. Authenticity is such a vital aspect to any human being in this mm-hmm. world, because you don't want to put on a front and then later have somebody find out who your true colors are. And so I'd say those three things are what I look for in an ideal college student.
Yeah, that's good. That is good. What do you think you've learned from college students or from high school students over the years?
I think what I have learned is they can see through the mask that we put on. Mm-hmm. You know, you can paint the ideal student pastor, college pastor, whatever it may be, or anybody for that matter. And truth be told, students can see through it. And I think that we do what scripture doesn't say to do, which is despise them for their youth. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that they can see right through it. So we have to be real and raw and teach them truth. I think people are especially your generation, is tired of the smoke show and the lights, and I'm not saying those things are bad, but I think you guys are hungry for truth, and I think you're hungry for relationships, mm-hmm. And I think you're hungry for the things of God. It's just a matter of us as leaders and teachers and parents and all that to see that reality and teach them the reality, raise a generation in the way that they should go, but also that students are the greatest missionaries in the church. I think I already said that, but if we enable and equip students, I think that they can be the greatest example of the Acts 2 model of the church, but also just those that are willing to say, again, here I am, Lord, I'm ready for whatever you have for me. There's a zealous attribute. People want to change the world, and so mm-hmm. why not change it for the gospel? So,
yeah. I think we can all learn from that.
Yes, we can definitely all learn from that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
It's such a good conversation.
It is a pleasure. I know that Ashley Newbert was already on here, so I know yes. there's no way I'm stopping that, but I appreciate y'all having me.
Seriously. Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Join us next week for another great conversation.